Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I just love this church. Yes. One of the things I love about this church is that it's got every generation in it, every age group, from couple of weeks old to right up. I don't actually know what the eldest is, but we have all the generations in this church. It's a healthy church. Amen. Amen. And God's the God of the generations. Yes. He is creator of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days. Amen. And he has every generation in his hand. Amen. Every generation mapped out, planned out for his glory. Amen. And in Revelation 21, he's the beginning, he's the creator. Genesis, Revelation 21, we will all be with him in heaven as his children. The generations are children. His plan and purpose is people. It's children. He created us. He formed us. The Bible says he is our Father. He is our Father. He breathed life into us. You were created and formed in the womb, the Bible says, and he saw every part knitted together. He breathed life into you. He is your Father. And this is the Father's manual. And we're going to, is that all right? Because if you want to know how to be a good father, if you want to know how to deal with the things a father has to deal with, it's all in here. Yes. It's all in here. So we're going to have a look through. Is that okay? Yes. He wrote it down. God made sure that everything was written down for us. The good, the bad, and the ugly of being a parent. The nuts and bolts, the practicalities of life. They're all in here. We're going to start with God choosing people. And he chose a people from a man called Abraham that he promised to love. And he promised to love his children and his children's children, the following generations. He promised to bless them. He promised to protect them and provide for them like a father, to lead them into a good land for them to live in forever. For their descendants to live in forever, ever. For their descendants to tell the next generation, their descendants, of the good deeds of God. And for his praise to keep going forever and ever. Amen. He promised to step in and rescue them when they needed it, and he did. He had mercy on them, and he had compassion on them. He was slow to anger and full of unfailing love and faithfulness to them. The Bible says he lavished his love on them, and he keeps lavishing his love for 1,000 generations. He showed them his character of goodness. They were the apple of his eye and his most precious possession, his special treasure that he was jealous over. They knew him as creator, as their lawgiver, as their authority in their life. They knew him as their protector. But he wanted more than that. He wanted intimate relationship with his kids where they would call him father. But they didn't always recognize him as their father. They knew him as God, but not always as father. In Deuteronomy 32... starting at verse 4, it says, He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he. But they have acted corruptly towards him. When they act so perversely, are they really his children? They are a deceitful and twisted generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father who created you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of long ago and think about the generations past. Ask your father and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them, and he guarded them as he would the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that arouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely. And the Lord alone guided them. Verse 18. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. The Lord saw this and drew back, provoked to anger by his sons and daughters. God loved these people, and they kept messing up. He loved his kids, and they kept messing up, and it hurt him. It says he drew back because they provoked him to anger. You know, it always says of God that he's slow to anger, but he felt it. And he drew back so that he wouldn't take his anger out on his kids. He drew back because he was hurt, because they kept rejecting him. Jeremiah 3, verse 19. I'm going to read these so you can just jot them down and then just take a note of them. God says, I thought to myself, I would love to treat you as my own children. I wanted nothing more than to give you this beautiful land, the finest possession in the whole world. I look forward to your calling me Father, and I wanted you never to turn from me. Hosea 11, verse 8. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the further he moved away from me. Does anybody relate to this as a parent? I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by his hand, but he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. I led Israel along with ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck, and I myself stooped to feed him. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows. It's the heart of a parent. Yeah? When his kids, they would move towards him, blow it and move away. Move towards him, blow it and move away. Jeremiah 31, he says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. I am Israel's father. God called himself their father. In his mind, in his plan, he was going to be their father, not just their God. And Ephraim is my oldest child. Is not Israel still my son, my darling child, says the Lord. I often have to punish him, but I still love him. And that's why I long for him. That's why I yearn for him. And surely will have mercy on him. God's heart of a parent, of longing and yearning for his son, for his child. And I've had three children. I've got three children. And my youngest is 10, and the middle one is 16. And my oldest son is 20. And, you know, you go through like God did here, taking hold of them by the hand, watching them walk for the first time, holding them in your arms like these guys this morning. And you go through the years, through the trials and all the stuff that comes with having kids. And he's 20 and he's left home. And I miss him. I miss him. And I was just saying to Janet this morning, talking about our kids, does that ever stop? Does that ever, that sort of yearning? I mean, he's only in Bristol. He's not, you know, he's not like the other side of the world or anything, or, you know, and he's doing the will of God. He's drumming. He loves what he's doing and he's happy. But inside, I miss him. And I can't wait to speak to him. I was on the phone to him late last night and he's coming home, popping home next week. And I just get so excited. And when he's home, it's not like we do loads together. I mean, he might just be sitting there watching tennis or football or whatever. But there's this, it'll never go, I don't think. Maybe when he's married and he's got a good woman looking after him, I don't know. But until that day, I'm like, you know, is he going to be all right? He's older, but that heart, passion for your kids, I'm sure. They'll always be my kids. And I say that to them, you'll always be my babies. And they're just like, look at me. But that's God's heart. It's God's heart for every person. Everyone's his child. It doesn't stop. The pain doesn't stop when they... doesn't stop yearning and longing for his kids to come to him. At the end of that little verse in chapter 31, where he talks about loving and yearning. It says, the Lord will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God. God will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God. He's the creator, he's the ancient of days, he's the Alpha and Omega, and the desire of his heart is that a people embrace him. That they know he's a father and they embrace him back in love. God was going to have to do something because his people kept messing up. They couldn't stay right with him. And he wanted it to be right. Just trying to keep the law, trying to obey, to loving him, to embracing him. God was going to have to do something. So God's last promise in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament, the last two lines. God promises to send his Spirit. Before judgment comes, before the end comes, he's going to send his Spirit. And what's he going to do? Is he going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children? And the hearts of the children to their fathers? Lest he comes and strikes the land with a curse. God wants reconciliation. He wanted fathers and son relationship. And he was going to have to come and do something. It's the last promise. It's the last thing he said. And then there was silence. 400 years. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, silence, nothing from God. And then he speaks. What God does is he sends his son. A demonstration of his love, he sends his son as a seed into a woman. He fathered that seed. And his son is Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That would restore people back to himself, which is what he wanted. Jesus' first words were, I've come to do my father's business, when he was 13. I've come to do my father's business. First words are about his father. God's first words. Does anybody know what they are? Jesus was baptized. And as he came out of the water, it says the Spirit of God came down upon him, and in an audible voice for all to hear, the first words of God in 400 years after making that promise, this is my son whom I love. In him I have great delight, I am pleased, I have great joy. Whatever translation you choose to read, they're all the same. The first words of God for the Jewish, his people to hear, is about the relationship with his son that he's chosen. Words of affirmation to a son. This is so powerful. Can you hear the heart of God? Affirmation. Affirmation is what God speaks over his son. This is my son. Before he's done anything. He hasn't done anything. This is the start. This is my son. Parents, fathers, affirmation. In an audible voice to your kids, to your sons, the most powerful thing you can do for them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're pleased with them. Tell them they're your joy. Even if they're not sometimes. Even if you struggle, tell them you love them. It's the Father's heart, affirmation, an audible voice for all to hear, for the Jewish people to hear. God, loving Son. So Jesus starts his ministry and saying everything he said and everything he did was what the Father said to him to say and showed him to do. He didn't do anything of his own, only what his Father showed him. He was demonstrating to these people that God loved the heart of God through every miracle, through every healing, through every deliverance, through every touch, through every word. Jesus was saying, this is my Father's heart for you. He's saying to the Jewish people, this is God who loves you. It's all about love. When he loved the poor, when he loved the women, when he loved the destitute, he was showing the heart of God. He taught them how to pray to the Father. And they weren't used to that. They weren't used to calling him Father. They knew him as God. They wouldn't even say his name. It was so holy to them. But here was Jesus showing a new way. It's all about relationship. He's your Father in heaven and he loves you. And as he goes through the prayer, it's how to honour and worship the Father. It's how to ask the Father and trust him that if you ask him, he's going to answer. As parents, when our kids want something, we don't give them, we don't not give it to them. Or we don't give them something horrible in its place. There are some parents that are like that, but on the whole, fathers love their kids. And if a child comes and they want something, the dad will do what he can. He'll do his best. The father would forgive them. The father's heart would reward them. He would deliver them. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and he was the way to the Father. No one could come to the Father but by him, because it was through relationship. I don't know if any other religion has this relationship with a Father that loves them so much. Muslims don't have God as their Father that loves them. Jesus is the way because it's relationship. That if they loved Jesus, God the Father would come and make his home in them. And this was totally so alien to the Jewish people, because for them the temple was God's home. That's where he dwelt. That was where they went. That's where they took their sacrifices. And Jesus was saying, no, if you believe in me, my Father will come and make his home in you. So different, so alien to them. He would lay down his life for them and for the Father. That's what he came to do. Whenever he talked about the Father, more than the things that he did that annoyed them, so when he talked about the Father, they said he was a blasphemer, that no one could talk about God like that. No one could call him Father. He was in fact calling himself, if he was calling himself the Son of God, he was calling himself God, and they couldn't handle it. And that's what caused them to plot to kill him. What he said about the Father incensed them. They couldn't accept and they couldn't believe he was God's son. And so they plotted to kill him. And they did kill him. He was nailed to a cross. And even there, Jesus asked, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That was his heart, God's heart. That was the plan, that he would hang there and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't. Father, forgive them. And he died for them. Jesus came to die for God's people. But the Father raised him from the dead. The Spirit of God raised him up. And when Jesus was, when he met with the women, he said to them, he said, I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father. He'd done it. He'd made the way. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He'd done it. He'd made the way from God to Father. Does that make sense? That's why he is the way. He's the only way. Because it has to be through relationship. It's the only way. And he'd done it. I'm going to my Father and your Father now. My God and your God. Galatians 4:4. Let's turn there. Is this all right? You're very quiet. Galatians 4:4. When the right time came, God sent his son, subject to the law. You know, Jesus, he lived as the Jews did. He went to the temple. He celebrated the feasts and everything that they did. He was like them. He was Jewish. He followed Judaism, but he brought in this aspect of the Father's heart that was new to them. This love, this reaching out to the people, this forgiveness. So he came living the same life that they were. It says God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Amen. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Right. Amen. Amen. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are God's children. We've been chosen and adopted to part of his family. Right. Amen. Amen. Romans 8. Skips through some verses in Romans. This journey of God's heart and passion for people. Romans 8, starting in verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Amen? And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Amen. Amen. If we have come to Jesus, if we recognize he's the Son of God, if we know we've been forgiven, he's filled us with his Spirit, we are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Right. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. His Spirit in you and I affirms that we are God's children. God in you. And the Bible says that His Spirit speaks deep into our hearts, telling us that we are His child, that we are His children. It's the Spirit of God in us, that we are now His children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Verse 29. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Amen. Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? When you read this in context of the Father who loves us, gave His Son for us, has adopted us as children, can anything ever separate us from this love? No. Some of you have got it. Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble, calamity, or persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, in danger? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And yet, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. Paul's heart. He says in chapter 9, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ if that would save them. They are people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed His glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them His law. He gave them the privilege of worshipping Him and receiving His wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors, and Christ Himself was an Israelite as far as His human nature is concerned. And He is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Well, then, has God failed to fulfill His promise to Israel? No. Chapter 10, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart. This is the heart of a man who's saved, but he's longing for his brothers and sisters who aren't. The longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, which was Jesus. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. It's the same for Jew and Gentile. They have to call on the name of the Lord. They have to call on Jesus to be saved. And they rejected Jesus. And many of them still reject Jesus. But it's God's heart and plan that they will believe in Jesus, that they will receive him as their Lord and their Saviour. And you know, if you have the heart of God and if you read the word, you too will carry that heart. Yes. That his heart for his people is that they return to him. So as a church who carry the heart of God, one of the aspects of what we do in this church is have a heart and pray for Israel. We pray for the people that Jesus came for, that they would turn and believe. And we support the believers over there in doing that task. Many are being saved. There's more saved, more Jews saved now than ever. They're getting saved and they're turning back to Jesus. And that's God's heart, that Israel, and that was his plan, Israel would embrace their God. And we carry the heart of God, don't we? That we will pray for them. We will give and we will support and we will go. And we'll encourage them in any way we can. Any way that God shows us to love people that he loves. Not just here in our locality, but in the nations. The Jews and Arabs. He loves. He loves all people. He loves all people. And he honours them. There's a scripture in 1 John 2, verse 25. This is amazing. It says, if we remain in fellowship with the Son and the Father, in this fellowship we enjoy the eternal life he promised. Now, heaven is relationship with the Father. Heaven is relationship with the Father. That's what it is. We're all going to be with him eternally. It's relationship. And the Bible says that people who call him, you know, Lord, Lord, and he says, you don't know me. You don't know me. It's relationship. That will get into heaven. Heaven is a place, but it's being with him. This is awesome. If we're in fellowship with the Son and the Father, in this fellowship we enjoy eternal life now. Now. I don't know about you, but the most important thing to me is my relationship with God. If I wake up and I'm cheesed off, I'm worried, whatever. Life's tough sometimes. Yeah. But eternal life is a secret place between me and God. Amen. Where I love him, he loves me back. Yeah. I get my joy, I get my peace, I get what he says to me. I have it all now. Yeah. Have it all now. Right. Amen. Says we give up, the word says that we give up our lives for one another as Jesus gave up his life for us. The Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. The word says we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. Do you know how much he loves you? Is your trust in his love? Such love has no fear. These are all verses in 1 John. Such love has no fear. It says because fear is to do with punishment. But Jesus was punished for us. Jesus took our punishment on the cross. We are not going to be punished. So all the fear goes out of life. Perfect love casts out all fear because Jesus was punished. We're accepted, we're affirmed. He gives us security and he gives us confidence. That affirmation from God, from this, If you feel like you need affirmation, this is where you get it from. He affirms you with his thoughts, with his words, in demonstrations, in your circumstances. He affirms us. David knew God. It says in, I think it's Psalm 89, "You are my Father, you are my God, you are my rock, my salvation." When you know God as your Father, when he is your God from the Father aspect, from that love aspect, he is your rock that gives you confidence and gives you security, because you know he loves you and you know he's good every day. Every day. It doesn't change. He never changes. His love goes on. For each generation, his love is there. 1 John 3 and 4. The chapter's there. It talks about the Father loving us and calling us as his children. We're all his children. So we should love one another as brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen.
You're not a project. You're not a bum on a seat on a Sunday morning. Your brothers and sisters. And the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. It wasn't obey God with everything. It wasn't serve him with everything. It was love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. And your neighbour is the one you're sitting next to, as well as the one in your street. The one in your life group. It says, everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We're family. And when I was praying a while ago about speaking, God was just speaking to me about us, this church being a family. Not just ministry base, but family. That we live as family. That we show deep love for each other, because love covers a multitude of sins for God to deal with. For God to deal with. We love one another deeply, the word says. We affirm one another. We live for one another. And I want us just to go to Luke 15. And this is a story that Jesus told, that again, the Jews struggled with. In Luke 15, the first two parables, Jesus is talking about God looking for the lost. And in verse 11, there's a story of a father who had two sons. And the younger son told his father, "I want my share of everything now, and I want to go." His father gave it to him and he left. So a few days later, this son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted it all. He wasted his inheritance. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. The man sent him into his field to feed pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And for a Jewish, you know, for Jews listening to this bit, serving, looking after pigs was the lowest of the low, because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't touch them. They were unclean. This young man was at the bottom of the bottom, okay, bottom of the pit. Verse 17 says, when he finally came to his senses, as many of us here have, haven't we? finally came to his senses, got revelation. He said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and earth. I've sinned against you and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father. In Jewish, in those days, you know, the father, he would have rejected the son. That would have been it. That's it. It's gone forever. When Jesus told this parable, he said, when the son was still a long way off, the father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He ran to him. They didn't do that in those days. Fathers didn't run anywhere. His father ran to this son, full of love and compassion, even though he'd blown it big time. He'd rebelled. He'd treated him badly. But with love and compassion, he ran to meet him. His father was looking out for him, yearning for him to return. He embraced him. He put his arms around him and kissed him. And he said, his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth and against you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. His father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. He wasn't a servant. He was a son.
Amen.
We are not servants. We are not hired servants of God to do his will on earth. We are sons.
Amen.
We are sons. Put the finest robe on him. Put it on him quick. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf. We are fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And so the party began. I love this scripture. There was a sound. There was a sound of a party going on. There's a sound of celebration going on. And we've been talking for a long time in this church about a new sound. Each new face that walks in this door is a child of God.
Amen.
And God is rejoicing. Whether they're coming for the first time for a coffee or whether they come up here because they want to get saved, there's a sound in this church. It's the sound of celebration.
Yes.
And it's the sound of partying. It's the sound of new people turning to Jesus. It's the sound of people coming back to God, either for the first time, second time, third time, whatever. They're coming back to the Father. And he's quick. Feed them, clothe them, put shoes on their feet. Let's party. That's the sound. It's a sound.
Yes.
It looks like something and it sounds like something.
Amen.
It's the sound of partying and celebration.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's right.
The older brother was angry. I wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. Begged him. This is your brother. This is your brother. Why are you so angry? What, this is your brother. I don't understand. And he said, all these years I've slaved for you. I hope no one here thinks they're slaving for God. He's our father. I've slaved for you, never once returned, never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And all that time you never gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, you hear that? This son of yours, it's his brother. After squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours." Can you hear that? It was all there for him. It was all there for him. "We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now he's found." Reconciliation. Restoration. That's our God's heart. That's our Father's heart. He made people, they're his children. He wants reconciliation with them. He wants restoration with each one of them. That heart of the Father that is looking and longing and yearning, looking out those doors for those out there to come in. Going out to embrace them. Going out to embrace them and to bring them in and to celebrate. To celebrate. Reconciliation and restoration is God's plan. Where is our heart in all this? Where's your heart today? Maybe you've been here for a long time in this church. And I just want to honour and thank every one of you that's been here for a long time, that has changed. Maybe you came because the anointing and teaching from Pastor Colin, you came because of him. Yes, you came because of God, but the anointing in this church and this house was because of Pastor Colin, and things have changed. As with each generation, things change. And I just want to thank you, for those of you that have stayed through the changes. Right. That you still want to come, you love being here still. Amen. Change isn't easy. But thank you for those of you that have been here a long time and stuck through the changes, the ups and downs. We're in a new day. Amen. We're in a new day with a new sound. And it's the sound of celebration. Shall we stand? Guys, you want to come up? And I want us to bring our hearts before our Father. Everyone, shut your eyes. You can raise your hands, or you can kneel, you can do whatever you want to do. Bring your heart before your Father in heaven who loves you. Maybe maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about him being your Father. God is God, but not as your Father. That he wants to meet you in that place today and reveal himself to you as your Father. If you've never prayed, but you want to today, you pray this after me, and everyone else is going to pray as well. Because for each one of us, we need that increasing revelation that he is our Father. Father, we come before you. We acknowledge you're the creator of the universe. The God of all. And I thank you today that you're my Father. You sent Jesus to die for me. Because you love me. Because you want relationship with me. And I thank you today that Jesus, you died for me, you rose for me, you gave your life for me, that I can have eternal relationship with the Father that starts right now. Thank you, Father. Father, I come before you with my life. Thank you for your arms around me. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you clean me up. That you put a robe around me. That you put your arms around me. I'm yours, chosen by you, to be loved by you. Amen. Maybe you're a parent here today. You need God's love and grace to love your kids. It's demanded all of you when you've drawn back because it's hurt and it's been painful. Just ask the Father right now. Ask him right now for his love for your kids. For his love and grace to pour through you. Raise your kids, to train your kids, to love your kids with his love. You ask him right now. Bring our hearts before him now to love our brothers and sisters. Father, forgive us when we've judged one another. Forgive us when we've let one another down. Forgive us when we've hurt one another. Children. Father, we're your children. We're brothers and sisters. We're all in this together. We're family. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love that covers a multitude of sins. Lord, your love that binds us together. Says that the world will look and see, but we love one another. They will see you. They will see you. When we love one another, when the church is your family, when we're devoted to you and to one another, we lay down our lives and we consider others better than ourselves, and we honor our brothers and sisters around us. Love our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, you are seen in our midst. You are seen. So Father, we thank you today. For a deep work amongst us. That this church becomes the family that you intend it to be. Lord, open up our hearts wide to embrace all the new children that you want to bring in. Right now, you need to do business with God. If your heart, like the older brother, has been upset, if it's been closed to new people coming in, if it's been upset at change, that the focus is no longer on you but the new people, surrender your heart before the Lord right now. Because God wants to bring many of his children into the church, into the body. His children. They need loving, they need caring for, they need providing for, they need feeding spiritually and physically. Open up your heart right now to God's love, to love the children that he wants to bring in, and that you will run and meet them. You will run and meet them. You will run and meet them. You will put your arm around them. You will be quick to respond. Open up your hearts now to the Father. That he does this in you. That you will not be an older brother. You will accept change because it's God's heart. It's where we're going, church. It's where we're going. And he needs each one of us to respond. Each one of us to be open. Each one of us to love. The unlovable, the untouchables. Lord, Father, you so love the world. You so love the world. Lord, we want that love in our hearts to do what you call us to do, to love who you call us to love. To one another in here, and to bring restoration to those out there. Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.